Happy to welcome back to the program MBTA Chief Operating Officer Ryan Kaholin to give us a little recap of this past major red line shutdown that just took place. Mr. Kaholin, great to see you again, first of all.
Joe, thanks so much. Great to see you again. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. This is really, as we spoke before, kind of a historic, unprecedented project that that just completed along the red line. 3 weeks, right? 24-day complete shutdown from Braintree to JFK, 18 miles of track. Did it work?
I think we're calling this a success, Joe. I think that, you know, Monday I went out on some of the earlier service trains and saw an amazing sight. I saw people, as we were pulling into stations, people thumbs upping, and the buzz out there was real, and it was beyond the buzz that I typically bring. But passengers were really excited to get back on. And then once they got on and realized that, you know what, the MBTA achieved what we set out to do and even more, you know, that speaks volumes to where we're at as an agency. Not going to dispute there is more work to do across the entire system. But we're on it, and we can deliver, and we have delivered to the red line.
Yeah, no, the overall goal of this particular project was to eliminate what turned out to be over 30 speed restrictions, right?
I think the final number was 37. We had planned on 36.
Okay. Were you able to do that?
Yeah, absolutely, we were. We were. And we actually, one of those 37 was one that was remaining on the Ashmont branch from the previous diversion there. But we had the equipment, we had the material, we had the personnel, and it made sense to get that done.
Sure. So I know this was, I mean, you know, you brought in, what, over 600 workers, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Did you accomplish everything that you hoped to do, and were there any problems along the way?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always, you know, just like if you're working on a house and you're putting maybe a new roof on, there's always the potential for hidden damage. And we're not exempt from that. You know, we found some areas that needed some additional work, but while we were there, and again, we talked a lot, Joe, the last time we talked about the planning that goes into something like this. And, you know, you typically always plan beyond the actual number, right? You allow a percentage for when you do have, again, the people and the machinery and the equipment and the skill set to tackle a problem now versus coming back 6 months later. It just makes sense. So I think, you know, originally we had set out to do 17,000 cross ties, wood ties, and we actually came away doing a little over 18,000 ties, because again, it made sense. This is where the work had to get done, and we want to make sure that recognizing the disruption that this was, and we definitely, you know, we concur, and you know, there's no way to hide behind it. It was an impactful 3 weeks. However, we wanted to make sure that we could get the work done so that we don't come back, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 months later. So we took full advantage of it and got the work done.
Some surprises that folks have relayed to me about the project were the improvements to some of the stations, notably North Quincy and JFK.
Yeah, I mean, when we have, you know, that uninhibited access, don't have to worry about trains going by. You know, we can get a lot of work done in a relatively short period of time, as opposed to every night for 2 or 3 hours. You know, just like the track, it's challenging to maintain it with that that amount of time. Same thing with the stations. You know, so when we can get out and change lighting and paint and upgrade and update, modernize, you know, that's where the experience begins. It's not just about tracks and trains. You know, really, when you step into the system, that's where it begins.
Yeah. So what is the travel time now on the Braintree branch, Mr. Kaholin?
Sure. So, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and even today, the headways that we're seeing are really an indicator of direction that we're going to go. Prior to this diversion, a typical trip between Braintree and JFK could have taken up to 40 minutes, you know, and anyone that rides the red line in that area, you know, and it's tough as cars on the expressway are zipping past you and you go, here I am. After this work, that same trip from Braintree to JFK, I think our best time was 18 minutes and we averaged just about 19 to 20.
Okay.
You know, which is incredible. Yeah. On the southbound side, JFK back out. We end up with just about 20 minutes average. So you can make a round trip between, and this is what I did on Monday. I get out at South Station, went down to Braintree, and came back in under an hour.
Wow.
Right? And it's been years since that was possible. So we really couldn't be happier.
So, and I know part of the goal too was to increase the headways between trains, right? So you have more frequent services. Is that part of the goal too?
Correct. So right now, following the diversion, typical headways, barring any other issue further up the line, we're holding to that roughly 10-minute headway, which is a far cry from the 16 to 18 to, in some cases, 20 minutes plus previously. But we're able to deliver that consistently. As I've looked at all of the actual train clear times as the week's gone on, we're consistently delivering that, and it plays a big role. If you're not just riding, say, from Braintree up to JFK or South Station, but how those improvements tie into the whole system, the whole red line all the way to Alewife, you have that consistent throughput where now this week we've seen regular 5-minute headways within the core of the red line between Alewife and JFK, and regular 10-minute headways between JFK, Braintree, and JFK to Ashmont. And now, with the whole system beating to the same cadence, now it's on us to further improve that because we are not done, Joe.
Okay, well, that's my next question then. What's next?
No, so in the next in the coming weeks, when I say the next 3 to 7 weeks, we're going to start to increase operating speeds. We have some more testing to do, verification to do, and some training to do for our operators and our track crews. However, we expect to increase speeds in a lot of locations between JFK and Braintree up to 50 miles an hour, which a 10 mile an hour speed increase seems relatively insignificant. Now we've taken the big bite, right? We've taken the big 10-minute chunks of time. We've returned that time back to the passenger. But now is when every second really starts to count. Station dwell time, we talk about stations with, the doors open, people get on, the doors close. Now we start to look for ways to decrease those dwell times. Because if I can shave, 5 seconds off of every station stop, along the whole red line corridor, that adds up to, a little under a minute, by the time I've gone end to end. Those minutes count. That 10 mile an hour speed increase is a step in that direction. Again, we're not talking, 10 minutes, 15 minute blocks, but if I can add, or actually subtract 45 seconds, 50 seconds, 1 minute, a minute and a half from everyone's trip, that's the direction we need to go.
Yeah, it's well, and then it's a cumulative effect, right, over the course of a week. I mean, that adds up to real time.
Right. And that real time, I mean, we're so it's so exciting and I think rewarding in public service to give back that amount of time to really to everyone, right? Our passengers, but our employees, right? Our employees are on the trains every day as well, so as we can make sure that we're not just sitting there going 10 miles an hour, it's a better experience for everybody. And I think that's what drives an awful lot of public service. It's, what's the benefit to the public? But this week we're seeing it.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's only been less than a week, but have you seen changes in ridership after this project?
Yeah, so during the diversion, we saw a lot of people divert to our ferry service.
Yes.
For the obvious reasons. It's a quick trip. It's a pleasant trip when the weather's good. And right now, this time of year, it's beautiful to be out on the water going through Boston Harbor. We saw ridership increase. And following Monday, and then at the Tuesday, ridership started to trickle off, and ridership returned back to normal, I would say, on the ferry. And now I'd say that those folks that diverted to the ferry service, they've come back to the red line. I truly believe that as people continue to recognize the improvements, and I can speak from my experience sitting in traffic, it's amazing now to watch a red line train pass you in traffic at 40 miles an hour. And if
Yeah.
you're in the right spot along 93, in the Savin Hill area, you can time it right and see a train, an Ashmont train at 40, a Braintree train at 40, and a commuter rail train at 50. So, that's when you really have to stop and go, what seat should I be in? Should I be in the seat on the MBTA, or should I be in my car?
Speaking of, I've heard a lot of folks, that do have to drive. Thankful that there's no more of the big Yankee yellow buses up and down Hancock Street anymore.
I know, and I'm glad you brought that up, Joe, because I recognize that this bus diversion looked different compared to a lot of the bus diversions we've done historically. Typically service always went to JFK, and I know this time around a lot of service went to Ashmont. And it being such a long-term diversion, we had the chance to adjust some patterns and try some different things. Obviously, when I put a shuttle bus on 93, particularly during those peak hours. I want to take advantage of the HOV lane. That's what it's there for. It makes sense. But when I can't get out of the HOV lane and get crossed over in time to actually see that benefit, it creates more of a burden. Some of the travel times that we saw to Ashmont for service inbound to Boston were far better than what we could do on 93. We sent people out just to run comparisons to make sure we weren't crazy. And sure enough, the Ashmont route proved that I'm going to say 90% of the time it was faster. A lot of it too at JFK. You get off of the bus, it's you know, we timed it. It's about an 8 minute walk between the bus, the up and overs at JFK to get down to the platform to get the train. At Ashmont, you step off the bus, 30 seconds later you're on the platform. So I think the results are, the feedback is mixed depending on what you're comfortable with. But I think the folks that did enjoy that easier commute on the diversion service, I think some appreciated Ashmont, some did not. But we heard you during the diversion, and we tried some different things. We tried some service from Quincy directly into JFK. And of course, the commuter rail proved to be super important to a diversion like this. Ridership on commuter rail between Braintree and Boston exploded as anticipated. We had some trains running on the Old Colony lines, Middleborough, Kingston, and Greenbush, at the highest capacity that they've ever seen. We added coaches. It's a balance between track space available in South Station. But some of those trains, quite frankly, I think that those coaches may remain on some of them, because again, people people don't want to be in traffic. So it's all about options. And I think now that the work's done, Joe, we have options on commuter rail, rapid transit. People learned about the ferry. It was a good chance to sample what works best for you.
Now that it's, fixed, how will you make sure that it doesn't break again?
Well, we've done a lot of work on the culture of what is the MBTA and breaking away from the run to fail model. A run to fail model applies to track signals, mechanical systems. Run it until you can't run it anymore. And while there are some industries maybe that works, I can tell you that this is not one of them. So we've done a lot of work to address how we maintain on that day-to-day basis to avoid ever having to do this again. It's a great accomplishment, and I can't thank the workforce enough, and not just the folks that were running the shovels and doing the work during the diversion, but all the folks that planned it out. It was a success, but I don't want to do it again. And we're going to make sure, as a team, from the leadership right down, that how we conduct ourselves and what we do moving forward, we don't replicate, right? We've proved it doesn't work, and eventually you run it to failure. And we're not going to do that again, Joe.
Were you able to add any new red line cars to the fleet during the shutdown?
So today there's three consists out there. We expect to add a fourth consist, I want to say, in the next 10 days or so. There's a lot of testing that still has to occur when those cars do arrive in Boston. But we're working closely with the manufacturer. They have folks on site here as well, for that commissioning process and that inspection process. It's one thing to get it and put it right into service. I want to make sure it doesn't fail in service. I want to make sure that the systems that, and remember, these are brand new. So I want to make sure the systems that are there are functioning. We've verified, particularly the safety appliances, right down to the announcements. All that of that has to work perfect. So all that happens, and then we put it in service.
Okay. So I know also you're looking at ways to improve, as you mentioned, getting service vehicles onto the tracks, right, to maintain this equipment. Talk a little bit about that if you could.
Sure. I mean, and so this diversion that just completed, we were lucky to have a lot of options for on-track access. Some locations we installed specifically for this diversion so that we can break the line up into different work segments, different work sections, and keep those workers focused on their section, so on and so forth, and also to make sure that folks stay in their area, right? But I think that what was envisioned is maybe some temporary access points. We want to keep them as permanent. And not so much on the Braintree branch, but I believe it's out. The information was out last week or the week before, maybe. The northern portion of the Red Line up at Alewife, there's only one location between the Charles River and the end of the line in Alewife to put maintenance equipment on the tracks. And that makes it really difficult to maintain, change materials, change ties, rail, all the things that we expect to do. So we are designing out a access point at Alewife, which is a challenge all to its own, given the fact that Alewife Station sits up here and the tracks sit down here. How do you cover that grade separation? But we're well on our way to doing that. And I think system wide, when you have a legacy system like the MBTA, and I think we hit on this, I think, Joe, when we talked last, so much of the actual rail bed, the rail lines, they popped up. And then over the course of decades and even centuries at this point, buildings popped up, cities popped up, neighborhoods popped up, and any chance to add access, those chances were gone. So we do need to be strategic about what our next steps are and how we plan, not just to run service, but plan to maintain. And if we have to, purchase property, adjust facilities, or update facilities to afford that access, there is nothing more important than maintaining the asset.
I know that since we last talked, I learned that you yourself, Mr. Koholen, have a locomotive engineer's license
I
and
do.
maintain that. So you're really coming at this from that perspective.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I maintain my license because the point of view I get from the head end of a train, I'm looking for things same as any locomotive engineer would be or motor person would be. And you can see when maybe some vegetation has to be addressed. Maybe there's a new construction adjacent to the track is actually obscuring a view further down, maybe around a curb. And that's things that I think, with my experience in sort of my approach and the fact that, I'm talking to you from my office, Joe, but between you, me, and everyone listening, the office is my least favorite place to be. I like to be out on the system. Just this morning I was out on the red line, on the green line. That's where I'm most comfortable. I like to see the passengers. I like to talk to people. I like to talk to our frontline employees. That gives me what I need to figure out now what's the next mission? What are we going to do next? And that's the beauty of, particularly what I do, Joe, but I think the beauty of public service and public transportation, our jobs are never done. There's never a point where we will ever say, that's good enough, right? So, and if I'm saying it's good enough, it's probably time for me to retire.
For folks who wanted to stay in touch with the T, good ways to do that.
Yeah, obviously, the MBTA's website is your best place to find the absolute latest and greatest with all things MBTA, whether there's service changes, diversions, or delays. MBTA.com is your number one source. Obviously, the social medias, Twitter, or I think they call it X now. I'd be lying if I told you that I have Twitter. I don't. But social media, we have a team that's their job, to interface on social media. Full circle interface too. If you see something and you raise it up via social media, we will respond. That's a great tool as well. For those that still use a phone, 617-222-3200, can always call in and get the latest information.
Great. Anything else you'd like to add right now?
I just, again, I really want to thank the folks, particularly along the Braintree branch. We know that it was a tough 3 weeks, not just for alternative service, but the impact that we had with, all those diversion buses running on streets and taking up space. And it's a lot, but the MBTA recognizes that we are all part of a bigger community. And I think it goes back to the point I made earlier. We're changing ourselves so that we do not do this again. And that's my commitment, certainly to anyone listening, anyone watching, and to you, Joe, and I think to the whole Commonwealth. We will not repeat this. Every day you either win or you learn. I think this was a learning experience for a lot of people over the course of a lot of years, and it's unfortunate that it had to happen, but it had to happen. So I would just ask that folks continue to support the MBTA and everything that we're doing. It's a big ship, but we're heading the right direction. We're going to continue to make improvements. And like I said, there's never a day where we're going to say it's good enough, we're done.
Appreciate your time, and I know you're itching to get back outside, so I'll let you go. But thank you so much for the update. Great to talk to you.
Joe, thank you so much. Pleasure as always.